Blog Talk Radio.
CQ CQ CQDX, the voice of the Canadian Rockets, VOCR2012, is on the air. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, madam and messieurs of Maisonfort. Welcome to another edition of VOCR2012, broadcasting around the world on the TerraJet Radio Network. Phone lines shall be open for this full edition, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287. Got an opinion? Got an idea? Want to make a statement? 347-324-3287. VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rocket. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Guru Nostra.
Good evening, everyone. Ladies and gentlemen, madam and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants, welcome to another edition of the VOCR. Special shout-outs to Dan in Edmonton, who wants more news stories regarding the Wild Rose Party. Now, that's an Alberta provincial party who have a good chance to defeat the provincial Conservatives in the next couple of years. Dan, we shall monitor the situation closely. Hang in there. Linda from Kitimat, B.C., emailed the show with a few interesting links regarding the ecological disasters from logging and clear-cutting. Linda, your concern is admirable. However, the hunger and need for lumber continues to drive the destruction. There are a few houses which are built with materials other than wood and wood derivatives in North America. The devastation that logging causes is similar to the oil industry, both providing a major service to the society, and the environment pays the cost, and consequently, citizens pay the cost. Tom from Los Angeles sent a great editorial to the blog, which we will be posting soon. We have a series of those coming from Tom, about the changing political times. In it, the subject of formula politics is brought to the mix, which generations of politicians have faithfully followed as if learning how to waltz. Well, Tom, as I understand it, the formulas which first were created in 1868 have been changed and manipulated in order to favor one party or another. Yet, the basic premise remained the same, political domination. Now, I look forward to your series of political views, my friend. If you would like to comment, communicate to the show, vocr2012@gmail.com. Remember, if you wish your questions or answer on the air, mark the reference line, comment. Tonight, we have news from around the world to digest, but before we do, I would like to bend your ear on a couple of issues which are manifesting in our society. As the United States political party machine gears up for the next election, and mainstream media begin their report coverage of frontrunners and scandals, your allegiance will be tested. To be a conservative or a Democrat, a Republican or a liberal, will have no bearing on the next president if it is not Barack Obama. The world has changed. Democracy has changed. Political battles, rules, have dramatically changed. Society does not play by the old political formulas of our ancestors. Peace accords and forced peace standoffs no longer are being honored by many of our old foes. Gaddafi cowered after Reagan bombed him. He surrendered what he claimed were his weapons of mass destruction, and Gaddafi knew Reagan meant business. It is unclear if Gaddafi's resistance is bolstered by the Obama administration's handling of the current event. It is no secret that Gaddafi was instrumental in the terrorism of the 70s and 80s and continued to dabble in the 90s, and some believe he continues to dabble today. When the obvious actions of NATO were about to be launched, the VOCR Gazette ran several stories about the possibility of success in Libya without boots on the ground. Since its commencement, the NATO action press releases admit their observers and also possible commando strike teams. Now, Gaddafi is holding on for a specific reason. Not because he can ever rule again, not to punish the people. He has an exit strategy, and it will probably involve the death and mayhem of a lot of people. His recent call for terrorist actions in Europe is a clear signal of a desperate man clinging onto control. It is now he is most dangerous. What if Gaddafi didn't turn over everything to Reagan? What if he still has some bio-nasties? Or some hot chemical somewhere? Can we believe that all WMDs were surrendered? After watching the news stories that Gaddafi gave Viagra-type medication to his soldiers so they could be more efficient in mass rape of dissident women, I doubt that whatever he had promised the West when he asked to join the free world again in order to remove those crippling U.S. sanctions was in the best interest and not ours. Gaddafi is a sick man. This has been gossiped for years. His maniacal rants in the 70s and 80s and his strange behavior during Western interviews, now re-energized through his son and the genetic flaw which his son manifests. The family genetic code is evil. Gaddafi's genetic days are clearly numbered. He most certainly was given the opportunity to surrender to Libyan people and forces as a leader he claimed to be. Now, an honorable death for Gaddafi seems almost impossible. Kim Jong-il exported his technology of underground bunker creation to house Iranian missile silos, which are supposedly invisible to satellite imagery. Could this be a ruse? To make the West spend more money on something that doesn't exist? We did it with the WMDs. Kim Jong-il, who recently threatened to attack South Korea again, let him go. Take the spotlight off him completely. Let it go. See how he withers in the darkness. Now, we have discussed many times what it appears as though specific countries play a coordinated effort to keep the West off balance with the possible need of force. I'm sorry Hugo Chavez has cancer. I am pleased that soon he will no longer be a threat. The problem I see is the possible power vacuum left if he cannot continue as president-elect for life. Venezuela provides 18% of daily domestic oil consumption in North America. Venezuela is, or was, a major oil refiner for the North American market. The verbal threats and taunting by Chavez to North America, and specifically to the United States, had to raise flags in the Obama administration, and the possibility of losing 18% consumption of oil per day has to be a national security threat. Recently, Obama authorized use of a small portion of the U.S. oil reserve along with a number of other countries, while Saudi Arabia and other OPEC countries, Canada being excluded of course, reduced production. Given the recent measure, why does the Obama administration continue to hold up a pipeline which will link the oil capital of North America, which is currently Alberta, Canada, directly to Texas refineries? Canada will gladly increase production in order to meet demand expectations. The oil industry in Canada is patiently waiting to decide if the major pipeline goes south or west to a promised deep sea port on the west coast and immediately to that hungry nation called China. The cost of fuel at the pumps must be regulated with less tax. Less profit by the oil industry and more profit to the independent dealer. Our dependency for oil has been long believed, and the addiction now includes our government. And oil's revenue tax generators, we need an alternative. But what is that alternative? Almost everything we make, build, or consume has a petroleum component. Your computer is 70% oil products. We need an alternative, and I do not see one in my lifetime.
Phone lines are open. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. It's all precautions to bring you quality information. Barely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, Caveat Emptor.
...stood to demand that their government respect their fundamental rights. I've stood with a gentleman from Indiana on behalf of human rights around the world. The Libyan people, who have been subject to the dictatorship of Muammar Gaddafi, who has more blood on his hands of Americans' blood on his hands than any other person other than Osama bin Laden in the last three decades. The message will go to all the world. The message will go to Muammar Gaddafi. The message will go to our NATO allies. The message will go to every nation of the world that America does not keep faith with its allies. America must lead. We must not equivocate. Such a course would encourage the enemies of peace, the bullies of the world. People around the world look to our country's strength in their struggle for democracy and basic human rights.
I think we have to carry out the UN resolution that calls for the right to protect, or the obligation and duty to protect. That's why the Libyan situation started. That needs to be completed. I would suggest that the Hastings resolution that gives a year is good in that it provides the necessary restrictions on the White House and on the military in the Libya operation, and basically puts the United States in a support position.
We will not police its streets or patrol its mountains indefinitely. That is the responsibility of the Afghan government, which must step up its ability to protect its people and move from an economy shaped by war to one that can sustain a lasting peace.
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
We've been in Afghanistan for 10 years at a cost of over $500 billion. In Iraq for 8 years at a long-term cost of at least $3 trillion. Those who told us the war in Libya would last days now want to extend it for another year at a total cost of billions. It is surreal that we could even be considering authorizing this war at a time when the government is collapsing in debt. We must put an end not only to the war in Libya, but we must put an end to the thinking that the Constitution is a doormat and that our constituents must simply bear the consequences of the misguided policies of this administration without this Congress having any say whatsoever.
Even the administration says Libya is not a national security risk to America. So why are we at war in Libya? Because the French want us there? Mr. Speaker, don't you think we've done enough for the French in World War I, World War II, and even in Indochina, what we now call Vietnam? The United States should not be involved in Libya's civil war. The cost has been over $700 million to the American taxpayer. Mr. Speaker, don't you think that money, that millions of dollars, could be better spent building America instead of blowing up Libya?
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
To hurt grandma, take... I have to, at some point, accept the discipline of saying, we just can't keep spending. And it doesn't matter where the spending goes. When you're broke, which we are, at some point you have to own up to it and quit spending money. It's...
VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockies.
Economic crisis we face demands that we invest immediately in a series of measures that will help save or create 2.5 million jobs and put tax cuts in the pockets of the hard-pressed middle class. Many of those new jobs will come in areas such as energy independence, technology, and healthcare modernization that will strengthen.
Rockies, your host, Colin Knight.
Welcome back. I'm very concerned with the direction that the Obama administration regarding the Muslim Brotherhood is taking. Stories Today reports U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the Obama administration wants to open a dialogue with the radical Islamist Muslim Brotherhood. A dialogue about what? Ruling Egypt? Ruling the world? Maybe Hillary could get them to step into the light and renounce all of that they are and do a Gaddafi after Reagan bombed his arse. Opening a dialogue means writing a check. The action is no better than protection money. The Secretary of State, either by her design or her boss, has continuously trotted around the globe with an open checkbook, spending money that they do not have. And what has to be had from it? As a mere observer, I have to accept that their intel is better than mine, and that their understanding is much deeper than mine. However, it would seem to me that good business dictates that when business is down, or when taxes are lower, then the cost of doing business and business size must be examined in order to renew. A profitable outcome for following years is obvious. Governments around the world must downsize first before placing the economic burden of cost increases on an already demanding tax system. I read recently about an idea that the industrial heartland of the USA be zoned business tax exempt for all manufacturing for a period of 10 years. There are some stipulations and restrictions, but the theory in general is excellent. After all, the tax haul from the area currently doesn't amount to a hill of beans. A business tax exempt area, where business shall be exempt from standard federal business tax and tariffs for 5 years, and state taxes for 10 years. The question to be asked, I guess, is how would the worker benefit by moving to the industrial business tax-free zone? Well, if tax breaks for workers were possible, I dare say there would be an influx of trained workers that would be a true stimulation that really works. The idea being bantered about would allow workers to pay a flat tax of area consumption and sales. Now, experts agree that the last $800 billion stimulus package failed, swallowed up just as the BOCR had forecasted, consumed by the greedy dragon of world entitlements and aid to maintain an artificial buoyancy of nations, manipulations of the economy design, free money to some, including our enemies. Again, as an armchair quarterback, I see the economy as anemic. Now, the normal prescription would be transfusion, but in this economy's case, the prescription is oxygen. The anemia is oxytocin. The body of the economy is not processing oxygen intake. The fire of the world economy is going out, and it needs to be restoked, and we must feed the monster. Governments need to back off taxing the cost of doing business. Governments have twisted the concept of budget and spend and have raised taxes to fit a federal gluttonous budget. Economic rules must be applied to both government and private sector. Government should be governed by society's needs and requirements, not government need to continue budget funds to function. A government should spend as much as it has, not what it thinks it can squeeze from taxpayers over the next year. Households have to make budgets to exist so they can pay taxes. No matter how much business taxes are raised, the consumer of those products are being charged more heavily and will ultimately pay all taxes generated. Now, the same works for unions. It may seem great to strike for more money, but you, the consumer, will ultimately pay more for the cost of satisfying a union demand. Each time the company or shareholders do not lose. The cost of satisfying a union demand is added to the formulation of costs of doing business, and the cost is borne by the consumer or the tax base. Now, I have received a number of emails complaining I'm too hard on unions, and maybe I am. I used it to attempt to explain how the cost of doing business is always borne by the consumer, and there is a threshold of cost which makes a product viable or not. The product may be great, exactly what you want, but because the cost of doing business raised over the last few years, the price of a North American product cannot compete with an import product where workers get 3 pennies a day with no union contract concerns. North American companies cannot compete with the cost of doing business. The belief of product quality made way for pure retail cost bracket sales. A few years ago, a friend of mine was shopping in Walmart. She came across a quaint rocking chair which was modern with old 18th century influences. She tested it, fitted it to her frame, and it was perfect for her decor. After she purchased the rocker, she asked for possible delivery and was advised for a small fee they would arrange a delivery, and she paid the fee. That afternoon, the large moving van pulled up and the driver and helper unloaded and came to the door. Opening the door, my friend advised the driver and helper that a mistake had to have been made. The delivery team had a white cardboard box 18 inches thick by about 4 feet square. The delivery service showed my friend the picture on the box. Yep, it was her rocker. So she accepted the package. Now, last week, while visiting, I noticed the box in her storage area and asked her about it. I am now pleased to announce I am the proud owner of a Chinese rocker chair, made completely from pressboard, that warns it is for visual elegance only, and made in China. Reading Bloomberg News today, I find the Economist predicting that within the next 5 years, China will exceed the USA as the leading economic power of the world. The Chinese market is huge and hungry, and the mix of capitalism and communism is most certainly a strange one. The Chinese Communist Party, celebrating 90 years this week, and many of the inner circle remember their very first meeting. China becoming the world's engine. What will be the outcome of a challenge to the Western world to resolve economic stagnation? China must be made to release its grip on artificial value, the artificial value of the Chinese currency, and it must allow it to float in the market of worldwide funds, gaining and losing as other markets do. Only then can we seek an economic balance of import and export with China.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it's all precautions to bring you quality information, barely the purveyor of information, you, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVMTOR. Phone lines are open, 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
Well, what I see is a bankruptcy coming. Yes, the government is broken, it doesn't work, but it's because we're broke. And the people now feel like they've been lied to. They call them dishonest, and there's a lot to that. Politicians tend to say things and they don't follow through, whether it's in the category of lying or not. But it certainly is a lot of untruths that are passed around out there.
Let me tell you, it is an anger and frustration that I share as president. For a decade or more, there's been a cozy relationship between the oil companies and the federal agency that permits them to drill. Seems as if permits were too often issued based on little more than assurances of safety from the oil companies.
These events occurred after the well construction process was essentially complete.
Halliburton, as a service provider to the well owner, is contractually bound to comply with the well owner's instructions.
I will not tolerate more finger-pointing or irresponsibility. We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded.
The Republicans have a long way to go. They lost a lot of credibility, and they're going to have to rebuild it, but they're going to have to do a heck of a lot better than they did when they're in charge. And,
yeah.
And that's the whole problem.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Glad you came back. Apparently, a treasure trove of information has been found within the documents seized at the Bin Laden compound, showing that Al-Qaeda was hurting for cash and were in disarray. Bin Laden spent most of his time settling disputes and resolving conflicts within his own organization. His focus always returned to dealing a second 9/11 style blow to the United States, but obviously lacked the contacts or networks to come up with a plan. Hats off to Homeland Security, who troll for such groups and individuals. A few years ago, I was shown a program which listened and watched for text code during transmissions. I later learned it to be called a sniffer. I've watched as the operator loaded keywords and phrases into its function memory, and it sat and listened on the internet chat room for each occurrence of a word or phrase with alarming accuracy. What I saw was probably a fraction of NSA capabilities. However, sniffer programs keep our society safe. Communications and electronics are also battlefronts. As such, they are no different than guns and bombs. The attack on internet traffic can be absolutely devastating. As warring nations become more sophisticated, their dependence upon technology becomes a weakness. The acquisition of certain electronics and communications remain restricted to those who wish harm to Western society. You would be surprised who is scouting flea markets and garage sales in search of certain components required to cause mayhem. Protests in Syria and elsewhere cause me concern. Not that I don't believe it's about time, but what could be left after the fall of the leaders? The power vacuum and ancient reprisals create a powerful for radical reform and radical Muslim. Although democracy appears to be shining in the Middle East, the vacuum could fill with venomous snakes who are more hateful than their predecessors. Some deep hostile hatred has yet to be unleashed. Now we pray for the fallen in the name of freedom, and we hope the power of democracy will help them rebuild. A story which appeared on the VOCR Gazette today got my attention. Iran's elite military unit, the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, has transferred lethal new munitions to its allies in Iraq and Afghanistan in recent months, according to senior U.S. officials, in a bid to accelerate the U.S. withdrawals from their countries. The Revolutionary Guard has smuggled rocket-assisted exploding projectiles to its militia allies in Iraq, weapons that have already resulted in the deaths of a number of American troops. Defense officials are reporting this. They said Iranians have also given long-range rockets to the Taliban in Afghanistan, increasing the insurgency's ability to hit U.S. and other coalition positions from a safer distance. The enemy of my enemy, possibly? And we have a new horse joining the election race in the Republican Party. U.S. Republican Thaddeus McCotter, a five-term congressman with little name recognition but plenty of pizzazz, has become the latest Republican to enter the GOP presidential sweepstakes, officially announcing his candidacy on Saturday. McCotter, a guitar-playing lawmaker from Detroit suburbs, who is known for his eccentric sense of humor and independent streak, made his announcement at an Independence Day festival at Whitmore Lake, about 30 miles outside the Motor City. Apparently, he played guitar with his band for the event. Well, Greece will get a vital loan installments by July the 15th, saving it from impending default, while work continues on a second bailout for the struggling country. Eurozone finance ministers met on Saturday. The ministers signed off on their portion of the euro $12 billion, otherwise known as $17.39 billion to North America, their loan tranche, in an evening conference call. The International Monetary Fund is expected to approve its part of the financing next week. The ministers also reiterated that they would continue to support Greece beyond the euro 110 billion rescue package that was granted last May, but left a final decision on the new aid plan until the involvement of banks and other private creditors had been figured out. And this story kind of titillated me a little bit. North Korea has assumed the rotating presidency of the world's top disarmament body for 4 weeks. The move provoked criticism from conservative groups who say the country's nuclear weapons ambitions undermine its credibility for the role. Geneva-based group UN Watch said North Korea chairing the 65-nation conference on disarmament was asking the fox to guard the chickens, but officials at the U.S. mission to the United Nations in Geneva, where the Conference on Disarmament is based, said the move was dictated by the rules of a 32-year-old body. Spokesman David Kennedy said, as far as the United States was concerned, it's business as usual. The Conference on Disarmament has been stalemated since it wrote the Nuclear Test Ban Treaty in 1996. Story out of Moscow. Russian media say the country has restored electricity supplies to Belarus after a four-day cutoff due to unpaid bills. Antov Navarov, a spokesman for the state-run energy provider Unified Energy Systems, said the power had been reconnected Saturday after Belarus, which is suffering its worst financial crisis since the Soviet breakup, paid its 600 million ruble bill. That's $21.5 million, or about 14.84 million euro. Russia provides about 10% of Belarus electricity, but the move to turn it off Wednesday put the struggling country under pressure. The government in Minsk was forced to devalue its currency recently, causing panic buying of goods and huge lines at currency exchange offices. Russia had traditionally been Belarus's main sponsor and ally, but it has phased out economic subsidies in recent years as it pushed for more control over Belarus's economy. What would you do without electricity? How would our society function? How long could our society function without electricity? Why is it we don't guard or patrol our transmission lines? Our transmission substations are rarely truly guarded. So why do we see the obvious and ignore the weakest link in our society? Seriously, imagine life without electricity. Not just for a day, but imagine life without electricity. Life after generators or batteries. Imagine the societal changes that would be required within months. The Amish would be technologically superior.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although we take all precautions to bring you quality information. VOCR, merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, Caveat Emptor.
I'm hearing all sorts of stories that his own family can't agree which hospital he was born in and lots of other things. And I'm trying to find out, you know, where is the birth certificate? I have a birth certificate. You perhaps have a birth certificate. Where is the birth certificate? You're born in this country, and, you know, to the best of my knowledge, people have birth certificates.
That's another question. Is he president of the United States? According to the Constitution, in order to be eligible for residence, you have to be a natural-born citizen. He has refused to provide proof that he is, in fact, a natural-born citizen. And his Kenyan relations say that he was born in Nairobi at a time when his mother was too young to transmit U.S. citizenship. So I'm not even sure he's president of the United States. No, that's not a laughing matter. Neither are many of our military people now who are going to court to ask the question, do we have to obey a man who is not qualified under the Constitution? We're in the midst of the greatest crisis this nation has ever seen. And if we don't stop laughing about it and deal with it, we're going to find ourselves in the midst of chaos, confusion, and civil war.
What I see
see is a bankruptcy coming. Yes, the government is broken. It doesn't work, but it's because we're broke.
But I don't think we need to smash the whole system and start afresh the way President Obama tried to do it. I go back again and again to saying the problem is poor people who don't have health. Why don't we just give them money to have health insurance? I don't think we're ever going to get the waste out of the system. I've been hearing about getting waste out of government expenditures and medical expenditures my whole life. They never do it. It just gets worse and worse. It's never going to stop. Let's just give poor people money to buy insurance policies and let them not die and let them not be sick.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight.
Yes, you are. Well, just before the break, we were talking about Belarus and its electricity problems. Well, Belarus has now blocked social media sites for the national holidays. Belarus has blocked access to social networking sites in an attempt to prevent protests being held on a national holiday. Now, as this goes on, Alexander Lukashenko, the president, as we know, all kinds of nasties have been going on with him. And the plan is that they would clap when Lukashenko started to speak. So that was the plan. And that was the information that the news was reporting earlier today. Well, breaking news is, the late breaking news on the issue, that police in Minsk are using tear gas. Dozens have been arrested for clapping protest, protesting the dictatorship. And isn't it interesting how the dictatorship is starting to pop like a zit? I mean, really, one after another, the uprising seems to be epidemic. And I wonder if the Western world are capable of keeping this fire under control. Russia plans Arctic Army brigades, apparently. Russia's defense ministry has said he plans to create two special army brigades to be based in the Arctic. The announcement comes days after Prime Minister Vladimir Putin said Russia would strongly defend its interests in the region. Now, they say that Russia has studied the specialist Arctic troops of Finland, Norway, and Sweden, and that they plan to model the Arctic troops on that. Story out of Afghanistan by our own Canadian writers. While Canada's combat mission in Kandahar is in its last days, a new training mission has started in Kabul. Canadian fighter aircraft are making daily bombing runs against Libya, and now the armed forces are preparing to send more than 1,000 troops on a huge exercise in the high Arctic next month. It will be the largest operation that has taken place in recent history. This according to Defense Minister Peter MacKay, who spoke to the press on Saturday. Moments after bidding an emotional farewell to combat troops now leaving Kandahar. All of this is very much about enlarging the footprint and the permanent and seasonal presence we have in the north. It is something that we as a government intend to keep investing in, according to Peter MacKay. Exercise Nanook is to play out in several phases on the nearby Baffin Island and Ellesmere Island throughout August. It will involve CF-18 jet fighters, as well as surveillance and transporter aircraft, warships, infantry companies from Quebec and Alberta, and 5 Canadian Ranger Patrol Group. The Inuit reservists, who have broad experience surviving in the extremely austere environment of the far north, will also join the brigades. Maybe that's in response to Russia, or maybe Russia's is in response to the upcoming Canadian announcement. Who knows? Police in Bangladeshi capital Dhaka have used batons to disperse protesters during a six-hour strike against a gas exploration deal with U.S. energy giant ConocoPhillips, Most shops, business, and schools were closed, and very few vehicles were on the roads during the strike, called by a left-leaning citizens group. Now, the group says the deal comprises Bangladesh's interests, and strikes called by politicians and parties are not really uncommon in Bangladesh, but this time a shutdown was enforced by the National Committee for Protection of Oil and Gas and Ports. The left-wing group wants the government to scrap a deal with the U.S. oil giant ConocoPhillips to explore for gas in the Bay of Bengal. The strike forced most businesses, offices, and schools in Dhaka to close. The Thai opposition has won their election. The party allied to ousted and exiled former leader Thaksin Shinawatra has won a major victory in Thailand's general election. Partial results show, with most votes counted, outgoing Prime Minister conceded victory to his rival. Opposition leader Yingluck Shinawatra, Miss Yingluck, who will become Thailand's first female Prime Minister, said there was a lot of hard work ahead. She is the sister of Thaksin Shinawatra, ousted in a coup in 2006. With 92% of the votes counted, Miss Yingluck's Phu Thai party had won 260 seats, giving it a majority in the 500-seat parliament. It is now clear from the election results so far that the Phu Thai party has won the election and the Democratic Party concedes defeat, Mr. Abhisit said personally on national TV. Hong Kong police say they have arrested more than 200 people following demonstrations over rising poverty and property prices. Tens of thousands had rallied on Friday, and police moved in to make arrests after some of the protesters refused to leave the district at dawn on Saturday morning, as agreed. Police used pepper spray to break up the protests. A rally which is held every year on the 1st of July, the day in 1997 that the Chinese entered and held on to the country.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it takes all precautions to bring you quality information, it is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVM Tour.
In 16 months.
And I jumped out there because I was getting distracted by a message that was coming through, and I do apologize. But 1997, July the 1st, was when Britain turned Hong Kong over to the Chinese. That had been on the card since 1969, and it took that long to work out the agreement with the Chinese. That was reasonable to all parties, supposedly. There are reports of heavy gunfire and mass arrests taking place in the central Syrian city of Hama after the city's governor was sacked by President Bashar al-Assad. The Syrian army has deployed thousands of troops to crack down on unrest in the country's northwest and in Hama. And late tonight, we hear more information that there is resistance in Hama, and Syrian troops are arresting anybody and everybody they can get their hands on. It's going to be a bloodbath by the sounds of it. Other headlines that are bouncing around that we really won't have time for, but the Sudan bombing kills three in the South Oil State. Nigeria's bar bombings kills five. And Turkey recognizing Libyan rebels. That's a huge move in the Middle East for Turkey to recognize the Libyan rebel government. Prime Minister David Cameron is to order further troop reductions in Helmand, from the Telegraph. This story breaks. David Cameron is to order the withdrawal of an additional 500 British troops from Afghanistan in a move which is set to anger defense chiefs. The troops, some of whom will be frontline soldiers, will be withdrawn next summer. It is the first time fighting troops are to be brought home. The decision goes against the advice given to the Prime Minister earlier this year by commanders, and they warned that cutting troop numbers, which currently stand at 9,500, should not be done too quickly or too deeply, and said that it could reverse hard-won gains made by the Army since 2006. It also coincides with a dispute in Whitehall over supplying 12 more Chinook helicopters to forces in the Helmand. And Liam Fox, the Defense Secretary, facing resistance over the order of the new aircraft from the Treasury. The withdrawal of 500 servicemen follows the announcement last month that 450 British troops will be brought home in the first reduction in strength, which is expected this autumn. Now, growing up in England, I knew this next person much better than the North American audience did. Sir David Frost used to do a show, That Was the Week That Was, and a number of other political satires, and then he became a host, and then he did the interviews, and he's probably most famous because of the Nixon interview. Well, it was revitalized with the Nixon movie. Apparently, recently he was paid £57,000, which is about $120,000, by a management consultancy to help boost the image of Colonel Gaddafi's Libyan regime. Yep. The broadcaster was among a number of influential people who in the West recruited by the U.S.-based Monitor Group to help enhance the profile of Libya between 2006 and 2009, when Muammar Gaddafi was attempting to improve international relations. In addition to Sir David Frost, documents released by the Monitor Group revealed that Anthony Giddens, the former director of the London School of Economics, the LSE, who was ennobled by Tony Blair, who was also on the payroll, Lord Giddens was paid £41,500. That's about, what, $84,000. Yeah, about $84,000. After making two visits to Tripoli, during which he took part in a public discussion alongside an American academic chaired by Sir David. One of the aims of the strategy was to help change Libya's international image as a sponsor of terrorism and the pariah state, and also to portray Colonel Gaddafi as an intellectual and a thinker. The Monitor Group also undertook a series of interviews on behalf of Gaddafi's son, Salif, which was used for his research for his 2008 PhD. So they are all as thick as thieves when it comes to Libya. Money passing hands into the most unlikely areas to gain influence, to change their image, to make them a kinder, gentler nation to the Western world. And look what we see on television recently. Look what we see, what Gaddafi is doing to his own people. This is the man who wanted to change his image, but he didn't want to change his soul. The man's evil. There's not much more you can say. He's evil.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it takes all precautions to bring you quality information, it is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVADMTOR.
In 16 months, we should be able to reduce our combat troops, provide some relief to military families and our troops, and bolster our efforts in Afghanistan so that we can capture and kill bin Laden and crush Al-Qaeda.
we need to express our rights and our concerns, and we don't have to second guess what their efforts would be if they believe that it is in their country and their allies, including us, all of our best interests to fight against a regime, especially Iran, who would seek to wipe them off the face of the earth. It is obvious to me who the good guys are in this one and who the bad guys are.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
So we find out that the Iranian guard are sneaking weapons, sending them to Afghanistan and Iraq, the enemy of my enemy. We know they're doing that. They've recently announced that they have missile silos undetectable by our satellites. We know Kim Jong-il used his technology to make those silos possible. And we also know that even though their product is of low quality, it still will create devastation. So in the Western world, under the current circumstances, what do you do? Do you sit back and continue to attempt to squeeze with sanctions, which clearly have not worked well enough? Or do you begin some force of physical action? Maybe slowing down his shipping traffic, or delaying payment transfers into accounts. Is that the kind of slowing down? How do you stop him dead in his tracks? Because if you stop him dead in his tracks, then you can be assured that you are going to be able to deal the solid death that is required. This man is maniacal and he will stop at nothing. He will tear and destroy the world around him before he will give up on the world. This man has no interest in the safety and the care and attendance of his people. No interest whatsoever. The Gaddafi family and regime's only interest is how much money can they stash away so they can live like kings and queens for the rest of their lives. That is their only concern. But tonight, more concern has been heaped upon them, because their concern now is, are they going to make it out alive? The Libyan rebels have offered to allow them to retire in his own country as long as he never speaks again of politics, and to live a peaceful life. And he has returned the information with a volley of rockets, killing more people. So this is where we stand as we come to the closing of this show in a few minutes. How many times can you turn the other cheek? How many times is it worth turning that other cheek?
Looking for more information on VOCR? Check out our blog at VOCR2012.blogspot.com. Email the show, VOCR2012@gmail.com. You're listening to VOCR 2012 with Colin Knight. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
General Secretary Gorbachev, if you seek peace, if you seek prosperity for the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, if you seek liberalization, come here to this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, open.
this gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The following program is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. Although it takes all precautions to bring you quality information, it is merely the purveyor of information. You, the audience, shall judge the quality of information offered by our guests or host. We remind all of our listeners, KVNM 347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
And as we rapidly wind down the night with a few minutes remaining, I think we've got about 5 minutes on the clock. We can look at the negatives and we can look at the positives of the world, but we have to look at the realities. And it doesn't matter whether you are a conservative, a liberal, a Democrat. It just doesn't matter what your political leaning is. We all have the same desire, is to leave this world in better condition for our children than it was left to us. That is it. That's all we want to do in the long term, in the long scheme of things, is make it a little easier for our kids than we had it for ourselves. And that's a long-term goal. And that is the goal of most people, most parents. So when you go out there tonight and you go into your chat rooms and your message bases and you start twittering and flickering and all the other stufferings, remember to be kind. There are people out there that have stories that maybe should be told or maybe shouldn't be told. And those people sometimes just need a flicker of light to continue. Why don't you go out of your way to be that flicker of light tonight? For no reason at all. Do something nice for mankind. See how it feels. Try it on for size.
I'm hearing all sorts of stories that his own family can't agree which hospital he was born in and lots of other things. And I'm trying to find out, where is the birth certificate? I have a birth certificate. You perhaps have a birth certificate. Where is the birth certificate? You're born in this country and, to the best of my knowledge, people have birth certificates.
That's another question.
And people do have birth certificates. But you know what? The question I have is, how come Trump hushed up so quickly? What was with that? One minute he was going to make this ginormous announcement, and then the next minute, nothing. Nothing after the birth certificate was produced. Now, I have read on some websites where they say the birth certificate is, you got it, a fake. Yep, fakery. They did it. They faked it. Now, whether any of that line of conversation is true or not, I don't know. But it doesn't get us out of the mess that we are in. We still continue to fight the economy. We're still trying to figure a way of how the heck we're going to pay back this debt load that our governments have got us into. We can't pay much more taxes. There isn't much left in the tax base for them to scrape and maul. You're fighting for your survival, as is most people. Very few people are sitting comfortable enough that they don't have to worry when they go to sleep at night. Very few people are out there worrying whether they have a job tomorrow and whether they will make it to pension age. These are the worries of many North Americans, many Western world workers, as we close out the show tonight. So do something good for no reason at all. It doesn't cost you anything. It doesn't cost anything to be nice. It doesn't cost anything to be kind. Try it. There's a good possibility when you are kind, you will find that kindness returned. But also remember, if you cast those evil feelings also can return. Good night. Hey guys, got a minute? You know, I'm sure we all have friends that are having tough times, either financially or in their marriage or in their general relationships in life. And but for the grace of God go I. Well, I have friends like that. As they look to me for advice, I look to the heavens for some form of divine inspiration so I can please the masses, I guess. And it doesn't always happen. So what I would like to say to you tonight is, if you have friends, embrace them. If you have loved ones, cherish them. If you have acquaintances, respect them. And if you have love, show them. God bless you all. Good night.
This has been a Night Talk production in association with Terra Chat Networks and BlogTalkRadio.com. Blessings on your household.